This is the Schnitt Show.
All right, everybody, happy Monday. It is Schnitt Show minus the Schnitt, although you never know when he'll call in. Casey O'Day sitting in for you. I'm going to be hanging out with you all week. So, yeah, I bet you're super excited here on your Columbus/Indigenous Persons Day, I guess, depending on which city you live in and whether you get a day off or not. But that doesn't mean the news isn't happening. And let's say it was a three-day weekend for you and you thought, hey, let's go ahead and let's head out of town and hey, I kind of like the Southwest Airlines flight there. That's a good price, and let's go ahead and do that, and it's probably been hell. And it continues to be hell. And I'm going to speculate that some people, hypothetically, don't believe the excuse as to why it is hell. The Southwest Airlines was forced to ground nearly 2,000 flights over the weekend. That insanity re-ensued this morning, and by 7 a.m., I think they had, 7 a.m. Eastern, I think they had almost 350 flights. And I'm seeing pictures right now on social media. A guy took a picture of the arrival departure board at Love in Dallas, and I would say 75% of the Southwest flights on there are canceled, just straight canceled. And the remaining 25% are split pretty evenly between delayed, significantly delayed, obviously a rescheduled flight. And that's how it goes, and actually flying on time. But that's how it goes, and when you have problems in the morning, you understand how it works, because that plane that you take from, I don't know, Tampa to Atlanta is probably going to either run that route three times that day or four times that day, or they're going to go to Pittsburgh on one, and then Pittsburgh to Miami, and then Miami to Tampa, or however they schedule it. You know how it works. And so when you screw up the first one, every domino finds a problem. And while they can try to work that out, I don't know. Now, we've seen large-scale cancellations in the past, obviously. You know, there was computer ticketing issues that we've seen airlines have to deal with. Southwest is interesting, though, because they, over the weekend, they blamed it on two things. And they continue to blame it on two things. Now, the speculation is that this is a labor action, I guess would be the term for it, but basically it's a sick out by members or staff members of Southwest Airlines who are reacting to the recently announced vaccine mandate, which I believe they have until like December 8th. But the pilots union flat out says that's not true. So take it for what it's worth. Southwest, on the other hand, but that, of course, leaves, you know, the rest of the flight crews there. Southwest Airlines says that it is a combination of ATC issues, air traffic control, to which the FAA pointed out that, I don't think so. That's not correct, Chief. And the FAA has a place where you can go and you can look calendar-wise and hour by hour, minute by minute, and see what's going on from a delay standpoint and flight traffic issues, weather-related issues. You can look at that, and while there were some pockets there, there's no way that it would impact. You don't have this level of flight cancellation with a hurricane pending the state of Florida. And I call it in the state of Florida because in the state of Florida is where they say that the weather is so bad that it literally triggered all the rest of this. And I guess, look, I don't broadcast in Florida. Obviously, the Schnitt headquarters are out of Tampa, but I do mornings in North Carolina. So I can't speak to what's going on in the state of Florida, though I was just there about a week ago. I was on a direct flight into Miami and, you know, was fine. The reason I'm saying this is because people don't believe that. And right now, when we're back into this for Monday morning and you're running with that same thing, people aren't stupid. And I can understand why Southwest doesn't want it to appear as though there is a large-scale disruption and disruption that may be based on this mandate. Southwest and any of the airlines, with the current control of Congress and who's in the White House, can't look like they're not toeing the line, man. Especially when, you know, it's not unreasonable to assume that they may come to the coffers again. And I believe part of the $3.5 trillion has dollars for airlines in it, but I'd have to check that again. It did at one time. Yeah, so what a mess. So if you're in the state of Florida, one of two things is possible, and you're listening to the sound of my voice, one of two things is possible. One, you should probably get to an underground bunker, as Southwest airline flights are apparently falling out of the air due to the visceral weather moving through there. In fact, could I ask somebody from the Schnitz Show staff to, do you have a window? Is there a window on the studio there you're in?
Yes.
Could you look out of it and tell me if you see Southwest airline planes descending at much too high a rate of speed due to disastrous weather conditions?
I see nothing in the window of an airplane.
No airplane. Okay. But obviously it's miserable. It looks like a hurricane out there, and you guys probably should board the windows, right?
Just another perfect day in paradise.
So it's really nice. Okay. It's really, the skies are blue. I bet they're blue, obnoxiously blue, aren't they? Puffy
yes,
white clouds, and that is so weird. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tampa is the second largest city in the state, right? Or metro area.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's weird. Tampa's right near Orlando, and a lot of people go to Orlando on Southwest. I know because of my morning show this morning, I talked to a mom who was on for 5 hours on the ground at RDU in Raleigh-Durham, and they were headed to Orlando. And they were on Hell Plane. So Hell Plane is a plane full of people that are all going to Disneyland and have set, you know, it's the Duggars, right? It's like 17 damn kids in tow. And no offense. Look, I was a kid, man. If I found out that we were on our way to Disney or an amusement park or just a mildly interesting anything, it was like I ate a whole bag of sugar, man. So if you're on that Orlando flight and you got your kids on there and you're all going to Disneyland, except now you're not going to Disneyland because they're telling you the weather's horrible and you look outside and you can't figure out what the heck's going on. And for 5 hours, they keep you on the plane, then take you off and then put you back on. It was a whole litany. And then literally try to give them a rebooking 3 days later. Meanwhile, everything that they had prepaid in Orlando, you know, I don't know if they had insurance or what the deal was. That's just slowly sapping away. So one of two things is possible. There is horrendous weather, and it apparently has the ability to cloak itself, or Southwest is being less than honest. Now, the pilots union did say that Southwest, in their opinion, has been overbooked, and airlines are in a transition right now. I fly a lot, and, you know, I get that. They're in a transition right now, and they're having to meet demand where they're re-expanding some routes. There's a route that I fly so frequently that there's normally three chances at it. They knocked it down to two during all this COVID, which kind of sucks for me. But some of that is being restored because for a time they had it at one. And I really never stopped flying with everything that was going on. And so as they make that transition, they're going to be as cost efficient as possible. In doing that, which can be a little frustrating, or it can be a lot frustrating. But I refuse to believe that it just instantly has impact of thousands, literally, we're talking thousands of canceled flights potentially over the course of 3 days. We hit 2,000. Will we hit three? Maybe. It is the Schnitz Show at 800-801-8999. All right, anybody else get caught up in all this insanity with Southwest Airlines? How'd that work out for you? And I'm curious what they told you. Because again, they were telling her it was a combination of weather issues and getting the crew there that I talked to this morning, and then two other people who sent me an email said that they have relatives, and they really didn't tell them anything at all. So 800-801-8999. We got lots to get into. It is the Schnitz Show. Hang on.
This is the Schnitz Show. The Schnitt List is on.
Schnittshow.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Schnitt Show, Casey O'Day in for Todd. He's got a whole list of stuff he's doing. So, maybe he'll call in and give us a little peek behind the curtain, but I'll be hanging with you all week. The number 800-801-8999. We mentioned the Southwest Airlines. That fund continues. And, you know, frankly, I guess if I had a Southwest flight remainder of this week, I'd be a little on edge, especially when you consider that the rebooking that I was watching or hearing about was sometimes taking place 2-3 days later. So I don't know what that's doing for tickets. But I do find it very interesting as somebody. Now, I don't normally, Southwest, I don't necessarily normally fly them. And I have nothing against Southwest. I've flown them in the past, but it's just a routing issue for the flying that I do. I generally fly American. And trust me, American can find lots of ways to frustrate you. Any airline can. But I got to admit, you would think, considering all of the Florida routing that they do, that they too would be having massive issues, and they're just not. They're just not, especially when Dallas Love Field, which is where American is headquartered out of, has very few American cancellations and is littered with Southwest Airlines cancellations, which I can see looking at some of the pictures here from the departures board that people are posting on the Twitter. So look, I don't know what you do, but I don't know how this is going to manifest itself. People pushing back. You know, in some hospital groups, there's the smugness of politicians. Well, look at that. The vaccine mandates work because now we have XYZ of vaccinated people. Well, congratulations. So you were able to threaten people with literally being able to feed their children, and it worked. Yeah, that kind of sometimes does work. Absolutely. That's a very... You know, holding a gun to somebody's head can be quite persuasive. And, you know, we need to rid ourselves of this idea that you can't be pro-vaccine but anti-vaccine mandates. I think that describes me perfectly. I think for the majority of people, absolutely, you're much better off. But I'm also not going to tell a pregnant woman or kids or somebody with, you know, and then insert whatever it is who had a conversation with their doctor, what they should or shouldn't be doing. I just want them, you know, because I like having listeners. I want them to make the right decision. So we find ourselves in this endless loop. Let me give you another example. The city of Seattle has just disclosed that as of 1 week, they're 1 week out, October 18th, the deadline. As many as 403 officers in the City of Seattle Police Department remain unvaccinated. And it's, you know, do it or you're out requirement there. Well, if you're in the City of Seattle and you know you previously had a department going back to, you remember the Chaz Chop insanity, going back to the beginning of all of that, you had, I think that one time they had like 1,200 sworn officers. And that number actually, as the defund the police movements move forward in the city of Seattle, I believe they did an 18% reduction or something. Anyway, they did something to knock it down to 1,000. So when I'm telling you that they have 403 officers who have not been vaccinated, most of which simply just haven't been, about 100 of have requested what is described as a very difficult to achieve religious exemption. You look at a 40% reduction of police force, and actually more than that if you go year over year, because they were hemorrhaging officers where they chose not to refill positions. What must that be like? What do you think would happen if half the police officers over 18 months disappeared in the town you live in? Do you think that would go well for you as a citizen? Do you think that when somebody's trying to kick in the back door of your house because they need meth, because who doesn't, right, at 3 in the morning when they're jonesing, and, you know, they just want to get some of your stuff, but they also don't care what physical violence they commit to you because they're drugged out of their gourd, do you think that having that response time makes you feel good? Or would you be offended if the officer who saved up to, you know, showed up to save your family, it wasn't properly vaccinated? Is that going to be the thing crossing your mind? No, I would assume that it's not. Yet that's the situation that the mayor, Jenny Durkin, is sitting there defending. I mean, I'm sitting here and she's They're playing a game of chicken. And when you have people that are demoralized already, I mean, it's one thing if you work somewhere and you like your gig and you're having to figure out what you're going to do. It's another thing entirely where you're sitting there and you haven't there hasn't been much to like about your job for the last 2 years. You're demonized by the people who are essentially your bosses. You're demonized by the public at large. You get no help, and if you make one mistake, then you'll be eviscerated because the media will pile on. And that's the environment that you live in. So then they come to you and they say, well, you're going to do this or else. And I could see where a lot of people might be like, you know what, maybe pound sand. Maybe, I don't know, maybe since you were approval, you approved of the Chaz Chop scenario until, what, three people got killed? And first responders couldn't even get in there to do anything. And then you realize, well, that's not looking good for the city. So then you finally do something. And then that's who's telling you to do this or else. You're probably going to look at that and go, you know what, I don't like you anyway. And maybe I don't want to put up with this crap. Mayor Jenny Durkin said in an email defending the vaccine mandate sent to city employees this week, quote, we value each of you and do not want to lose you, but the people that count on you the most are the ones that need you to get vaccinated. So you couple that with the, you know, every healthcare worker is either a TikTok dance star or a hero or both. And then you're gonna run those folks too. Easy, man. Everything is nuts out there. There's a reason that Civil War is literally trending on Twitter over the weekend. But I digress. All right. It is the Schnitt Show. Lots to get to over the next 2.5 hours. We will dive right in at 800-801-8999 right after this. Hang on.
This is the Schnitt Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in presenting Schnitt.
Well, speaking of insanity in the air, by the way, welcome back to the Schnitt Show. Casey O'Day sitting in for Todd. I had not seen the follow-up to... they had to make an emergency landing at LaGuardia. And some people were saying that there was like a bomb or something. Okay. The security incident... that forced a New York-bound flight to make an emergency landing in LaGuardia on Saturday turned out it was a misunderstanding after an airline passenger mistook another passenger's camera for a bomb. What? American Airlines Flight 4817 from Indy made an emergency landing at LaGuardia just after 3 p.m., and authorities took a suspicious passenger into custody for several hours. Turns out the would-be bomber was just a vintage camera aficionado, and the woman who reported him made a mistake. The woman, who was traveling with her husband and children sitting across the aisle from her spouse, said she spotted another man in her husband's row scrolling through videos and photos of vintage cameras. So he didn't even have a vintage camera. He was looking at pictures of the vintage camera. She thought he was looking up bomb-making instructions. Oh, okay. All right, so he does have one. So she calls him out, and he says, no, it's a camera. I would be fascinated to know how old this woman is. Because you remember how big cameras used to be. And I don't mean just professional-grade, you know, Canons or Nikons or anything like that. I'm talking big, oversized Polaroids or, depending on how... old of the cameras here, they're just going to be larger and larger. So the man then pulls out his own camera and adjusted it to show her, no, it's a camera, which she thought was him, quote, setting a timer on the detonator. She's been watching too much TV. The man was traveling with two check bags, which were taken off the aircraft and screened. Among various items were a skateboard and vintage camera. Oh, so he doesn't sound like he's probably an old dude either, just somebody who's, you know, kind of got a little hipster thing going on there. Whatever, you know, do your thing, dude. Port Authority police officers and federal agents detained the man for several hours. That's what I'm more irritated about. I bet this woman got to go wherever the heck she was going. Eventually, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the FBI, and Port Authority Police determined there was no criminality on the part of the passenger and he was released. Well, of course there wasn't. Well, you don't have one person there working at the Joint Terrorism Task Force who knows what a camera looks like? Is there video of this, Karen? I'm sorry, look, I get it. See something, say something. There's been some, you know, we've had some insane stuff on planes and people flip out and whack out. And I've been on a plane where they had a dude in the air, thankfully, where they had a dude losing his mind and, you know, bye-bye. And I was on a flight with a dude. I was on one of my flights where a guy wouldn't wear a mask. He wore a mask for most of the flight. And then for whatever reason, alcohol, he decided, nope, not going to do that anymore. And I'll tell you what, that was, listen to how bad this is for this guy. So that was an international flight into the U.S., right? So I'm in another country and I'm coming back to the U.S. This dude is a resident of the country, and the country requires, we require of the country, if you're a citizen, this is Costa Rica, it's essentially Costa Rica to Miami, Florida. So the dude is Costa Rican. And to go to the U.S. as a Costa Rican, you need a visa. It's not a visa waiver country. It is on the way down, but not going back up. And so he had to go get one. They're good for 10 years, but they're not that easy to get. So to get one, that's a pretty good gig. And so he had obviously one of those as he was traveling into the United States. Well, he pulled that, and as a Costa Rican, when we get there and he hasn't cleared in through customs, he never enters the country. And they didn't. When we got there, man, here he was. He went and got to go talk to some police. And I was talking to the flight attendant because Miami was not my final destination on the next flight. And was telling her about it. She goes, "No, you don't even understand. Like that guy's now on the no-fly list. They're going to revoke his visa and they'll deport him." So people make irrational decisions on planes. I understand that, but if some guy's like, "No, I'm looking at old cameras," and he shows you an old camera. Now you're just being a nuisance. There's a happy medium there, or at the very least, there should be. Okay, 800-801-8999. You want to be on the Schnitt Show? That's how you make that happen. Who's the craziest person you ever saw on a plane? That's not even the craziest person. The craziest persons, although this was post 9/11, but was pre all the COVID insanity. And I mentioned earlier about how the Orlando flight down is the worst flight, but it may pale in comparison to any flight returning from Vegas because the whole plane smells like sweating alcohol and regret. And it was on one of those flights where not only did it smell like all of those things, but also some people were overcome with passion and did not care that they were kind of in the middle of everything. So, but, you know, whatever. It's better than most of the in-flight entertainment. All right, we're going to have to get into this. This Brian Landry story rolls on. Is anyone surprised? Like, it's really hard to hide. It's really hard to hide. The flipping Unabomber, once they were onto him, I don't think, what did it take him, a week to raid that cabin in Lincoln? Who was the guy, the Versace murder dude? Didn't he, like, hidden some? I think he hit up North Carolina for part of it, too. But, I mean, really unusual circumstance when everyone's looking for you. I mean, it's one thing to be a person on the run. I understand that. But to be a person whose face is plastered literally every day on the news. And all of the searching that they've done, obviously of that wildlife area, which I don't know how deep you guys have gotten into discussion here on the show. The parents didn't seem real worried when they should have been under the impression that their kid is living in one of the more inhospitable environments, surrounded by gators and snakes, and just miserable weather and a lack of drinking water and everything, which led a lot of people to conclude that they knew that he wasn't there. So theories continue to evolve. And then it was, well, he's camping and he's on the Appalachian Trail. They had a big thing up in North Carolina. Big little search right there on the Tennessee border based on a witness statement. And that was the big to-do in the news up in North Carolina here. And then there's my favorite. I don't know if you saw this. Internet sleuths, who, God bless them, they were running a theory that Brian Landry is hiding under a flower bed in his parents' backyard. Did you see this? They're like, oh, we saw a hand come up through the weeds like it's Night of the Living Dead or something. But the chances are he's somewhere, and now they're trying to figure out, I mean, when I say somewhere, alive. Right? It's easy. I guess it's easier to hide when you're dead. And frankly, as somebody who grew up in Wyoming, that's where I grew up, man, let me just tell you what. They weren't in the most rural part of Wyoming, but they weren't far off. You got on the other side of that mountain range from Jackson and that area over there by where they were, and there's nothing, man. There is nothing. It'd be real easy for somebody to get lost. And again, that's where I grew up. There's nothing. If you're a kid who grows up in Wyoming, and I guess you don't live in the middle of Casper, Cheyenne, or Laramie, chances are you would have no problem finding a place to hide a body. You got spots, man. Not that you're going to kill somebody, but you just realize how rugged and remote it is. And frankly, if you know, that's where you should have stayed. I point this out because we have two updates. According to ex-FBI official, the theory, I guess the working theory now is that Landry is hiding somewhere, but is being taken care of. I know, real brain buster there. Let's see, what is this guy's name? Terry Turchi, former deputy assistant director of the FBI's counterterrorism division, said that investigators now are under the impression that he's being taken care of. He's not camping in the vast Florida Nature Reserve. He's not on the Appalachian Trail. And that really the only way he'd be able to hide is if he had somebody to run errands, do all these things for him, but also provide him a place where he wouldn't have to leave the home or the property. Sorry, scrolling down here. When you see how he came running home after something obviously happened, that kind of tells you what he's probably doing now. Landry, of course, the sole person of interest in his girlfriend Gabby Petito's disappearance and death during the couple's ill-fated cross-country trip. The 22-year-old Long Island native vanished. Okay, that's just a refresher here. So I don't know, man. Yeah, they got a little map here of all the places they think they saw him. And then the other day they had, Dad was out there and he was pointing out trails on this adjacent preserve as to where his kid might like to go. But I don't know how much of Dad's heart's in that. If he's like, oh, yeah, he loves that trail over there. Yeah, you send all your people down there looking. So I wonder how helpful that even is. All right, 800-801-8999. Let's see here. I want to update you on Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. If you don't know who that is, we'll recap. The Let's Go Brandon weekend rolled on. And where did I put this? Yes, California. Did you see the slate of laws that Gavin Newsom signed over the weekend? I'm telling you, because if there's one thing that's wrong with California, they just don't have enough laws. But they're hoping to remedy that with like 10 new ones. We're going to have to touch on a few of them because they're exactly what you would expect. It is the Schnitt Show, and it rolls on next. Hang on.
This is Schnitt.
Now you can listen to
Schnitt.
You know, today is also Boston Marathon Day. That's right. Yes, the Boston Marathon being run, obviously, in Boston. And under some pretty tight security, I guess, considering. But there is one interesting little aside. The Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema runs marathons and was set to run. I haven't checked to see if she is running in it right now. But runs the marathons, is planning on running in it, and these same moonbat idiots who chased her into a bathroom and filmed her the other day, they are already coming up with a plan. The plan, according to information from the Green New Deal Network, said that they have activists who will dot the path with signs Okay, that's not altogether unexpected. And, of course, I'm sure they'll have clever stop running from us puns aboard them. However, the part where I kind of chuckled a little was the part where they also said that they're going to have people that are participating in the marathon who will be bird-dogging her. So she's going to run this marathon, and meanwhile, some activist is going to be, I guess, running, chasing her, yelling at her for 26 miles, 26 and a half miles or whatever it is. I mean, that's commitment right there, I guess. And look, it's not in a bathroom, and if people want to hold signs and yell at an elected official out in public, I don't care. And, you know, here's the thing. I care that there is a double standard on really how you do this. You know, most people would draw the line like, okay, there's a politician who's walking from an office, from the House office building to the Capitol, and I'm going to have my voice heard. Or there's a politician that's there at a town hall, and I'm PO'd, and I'm going to let him know. I had no beef with that. Arlen Specter town halls before that over the Obamacare stuff, that was insane. You remember the Arlen Specter town halls? Where he absolutely lost his crap. Yes, absolutely lost it. And just started screaming back at the people at the town hall. It was some of the best audio I think I had that year. But then there was this other thing where if an elected official, I don't know, was sitting there eating dinner with their family, most people would probably say, they might say something to them if they wanted a photo or if they, outside if they wanted to say something negative or when the guy got up to go to the bathroom or whatever. But there was that dividing line. And we so quickly crossed into people in a woman's bathroom. One of them was a dude screaming at cinema while she's in there trying to relieve herself. So, I mean, that's where you get into this dividing line. But, yeah, I don't know if that happened. I was kind of waiting to see it play out because I assumed that Twitter would be awash with videos with that insanity. Also, over the weekend, good time to be named Brandon as everyone's rooting for you. Yes. Where was the really loud one? I think it was the Mississippi State-Arkansas game. They were going ballistic. There was some in Alabama, although they had bigger issues in Alabama now that they lost. The college game day, which I believe was at Ohio State. Yeah, I think the college game day, because they move around and then they do the broadcast on ESPN from one of the universities. They were sitting there, and they couldn't find a camera angle where it didn't say, "Let's go, Brandon." Of course, "Let's go, Brandon," I guess if you just were born, "Let's go, Brandon" is a reference to a chant that was going on at a NASCAR Xfinity race, where the NBC News idiot is interviewing the winner. His name is Brandon. And in the back, they're chanting "F you, Biden." It's clear. And it is something that's not new, because this just happened like, a week and a half ago? It's not something that's new. They've been chanting that the entirety of college football, that it was just started during first week. It's not an unknown commodity. Anywhere you have a big group of people gathered, if somebody can get that chant going, they're going to do it. And they did. And they chanted "F you, Biden." And the NBC reporters, this nitwit's like, "Oh, they're saying, 'Let's go, Brandon.'" No, no, they're not. And no, they haven't been. And no, they won't continue, because now it's a thing. Now it's a meme. It's such a meme that while travelers were stranded and unable to board Southwest Airlines flights all across the country, because, I don't know, Florida died or something, whatever the Southwest excuse is. In Chicago, people were literally paging Lesko, first name Lesko, L-E-S-K-O, Brandon. And I'm sure it will happen in various other airports. I tell you, one of my favorites where they got a page was one with Epstein. And somehow they figured out a name that sounds like Epstein didn't kill himself. But it was some very, I'm going to look that up, because I remember laughing my butt off. Oh, no, it had Clinton. That's what it was. I'll find it for you. This is in radio, this is a tease. All right, I will look it up during the break. And then as we kick off hour number two of the Schnitt Show, I will remember what that is and I will tell you. Because I do find it incredibly amusing. Because you don't even have to be in an airport. You can go to like a Walmart, Target, someplace that's got a little PA system. And they're bored over customer service anyway. So, all right, don't tell them I told you that. We'll be back. Hang on. It is the Schnitt Show.
The Schnitt Show.